Now, here is a story of ordinary Australians doing extraordinary things. Today, 1015 is with Claire Simpson from the charity Project Vietnam. It's a grassroots organisation that began in 1996 to provide assistance to needy families in Vietnam, Cambodia and Laos. That all sounds pretty impressive, Claire, but I would like you to take us on a journey with you so that we can see the sights of Vietnam in our mind's eye, catch the aromas in the wind and hear the stories of the country around us. Claire, tell us about some of the projects that you've been involved in and describe what it is like when you first went there and the outcomes and the benefit for the area. Any personal heartwarming stories?
I most certainly do. But before you get to a heartwarming story, I'll tell you a little bit how Australians actually live in capital cities, because nothing actually prepares you for the poor living and educational conditions in the villages. So on arrival at this little village, it was about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours out of Hanoi, and 28 volunteers saw this derelict kindergarten. And I distinctly remember the smell of urine as the children had no toilets. Most of the shutters were broken. There was no power for lighting, let alone a ceiling fan. The roof and some walls had to be completely demolished, but we managed to salvage most of the bricks and some of the doors. So we commenced a complete rebuild, and this included the roof, walls, doors, windows, kitchen, plumbing, painting, power, and most importantly, water systems for the toilet and the drinking. So the list goes on, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
At the end of a very satisfying 2 weeks, the children had a completely new kindergarten. So the children and the teacher benefit from the new waterproof and lockable building, plus a clean and healthy environment. And what better way is to get out of poverty is to be educated correctly. Now, even though some of the adults in the village didn't have a child or a grandchild going to the kindergarten, they appreciated our efforts with warm smiles and saying, "G'day," as we went past. And they would come along and help from time to time. And they would even give us bananas from their own trees. So one little grandmother came to paint doors with me for 3 days. She never left my side. The locals really love what we do. They really appreciate it and they absolutely take nothing for granted at all. And just before we left, I happened to say to my dentist at the time, "Would you like to donate some toothpaste for me, please?" Well, the lovely dentist gave me 100 tubes of toothpaste. So David put 5 into his bag and 5, I think, kilos into my bag. So when we arrived at the hotel, We got very friendly with the assistant manager quite quickly. And I said to her, "Where do I go to buy some toothbrushes?" And she said, "There's a little market around the corner." And she said, "I'll take you." And I said, no. I said, "It's fine. I'll find my own way." "No," she said, "I will take you because you will get charged my price and not your price."
Oh, good. Yes.
So even though what we were doing wasn't affecting her personally, but she knew that we were doing the greater good for her people. Mm-hmm. And that's what she wanted to do.
Wonderful.
So the job sites are normally about 2 weeks, but it's not compulsory. You can volunteer for just 1 week in one country or 2 weeks in one country. It's up to you. It's not compulsory to do any set days or schools at all. And the other little nice heartwarming story was all the ladies were out in the laneway painting all these doors. And a group of 7, 8, 9, I think, kids came past, all about the same age, and they were going up and down the road watching us. Mm. And one little boy said, "G'day," and we all smiled and said "G'day" back. The next day he came up with a book, and he asked me, "How do you pronounce that in English?" because they were learning English. And I told him how to pronounce it. So the next one and the next one and the next one all wanted to learn how to say a word. Well, this went on for 2 or 3 days. Mm-hmm. And then I think it was about the 4th or the 5th day, they all came up with their exercise book with a pencil.
Oh, how lovely.
I was to do their homework. And I said, "Well, I will tell you the words, but you have to do the writing."
Oh, good.
So you get lovely little stories like that all the time while you're away. Now, the cost, a lot of people ask what the cost is. So it varies from time to time with the airlines. But a two-week trip normally would cost you about $3,000. And that would cover the cost of your airfares, accommodation, travel insurance, and a contribution of $200 to the overseas building fund. Clothes is another question we often get asked.
Yeah.
Well, as you can imagine, you certainly don't need your Sunday best. And so you would wear pretty much what you would wear here, shorts, T-shirt, hat, covered shoes, and very, very much a roll-up-your-sleeves environment. You don't have to look swish at all. And some of the other question we often get asked is, what is the standard of the hotels? You stay in 2- and 3-star hotels.
Okay.
All modern conveniences, you know, that we do. So our trips, for us, David and I, when we went to Vietnam on a volunteer capacity, we travelled around on our own for 2 weeks later.
Yes.
And explored like the rest of the country.
It is so beautiful over there as well, Claire, isn't it?
Oh, it's
everyone
it's
that
beautiful.
Goes, I haven't been to Cambodia, but they say, and Vietnam,
it's
absolutely
beautiful.
Beautiful it is, yeah.
Another question we get asked is about food. So there are plentiful simple restaurants, cafes, street stalls. There's no shortage of food in any of these countries. So whether you're eating at a street stall or a restaurant, you are certainly guaranteed flavoursome, colourful food with lots of fresh herbs and vegetables, and aroma that you just can't beat. Language is not a problem at all. We don't speak each other's languages in many, many places, but the big smiles and the open and willing heart, coupled with the body language, the message is conveyed and the job gets done.
Yes, yes.
And at the end of every project, there is often a religious ceremony, so we all give thanks and we all join in prayer at the end of it. Yeah.
Claire, now, earlier in our little chat, you mentioned that most of the volunteers are retired or semi-retired. What an awesome project to be part of. I mean, this retirement isn't all it's cracked up to be unless you're getting out there doing something wonderful. And what a great opportunity.
Well, it's also great camaraderie as well.
Yes.
Because when you go to a site, you're all wanting to go, you're wanting to give, you're wanting to do.
Yes.
So it's not like, you know, I have to turn up to work at 9 o'clock.
No.
And the camaraderie is fabulous. And some people say, oh, well, I don't have the skills, you know, to saw. But the tradies that are there actually need you to pass them things when they're up a ladder. They want you to hold the piece of timber while they're drilling or sawing. So you don't have to have skills in the building industry at all.
But we've got life skills, Claire.
But you do have life
skills.
And
those things are probably even more important than the tradie skills, because they've got the trade. They don't want you mucking about on their little piece of dirt.
Hey? That's right.
You know, they want to get under it. I can remember seeing a sign up in Papua New Guinea, you know, if your bike is broken, we'll fix it for $50. If you stay and help, it's $60, you know. So
yes.
They don't want you hanging around doing that.
No.
So there's no problem there. Now, although the volunteers pay their own flights, Claire, and you've gone through quite a lot of that with the accommodation and the food, the aid work itself is funded by membership subscriptions.
Yes, absolutely.
So we probably need to touch that a little bit. And how can the public or businesses join in to contribute to this selfless work with the Project Vietnam?
Well, they, you know, an individual can become a member by $55, or a concession is $35, or a company is $100, and that is all tax deductible.
There you go.
Or they can donate goods.
Yes, like your dentist, you know, with the toothpaste.
Yep.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We'd like to get a new brochure out, so we're looking for someone to do a new brochure
Some
for
printing.
Us.
Yeah.
We're needing another banner, which we'd which would be really good. Mm-hmm. And the and really for the two lots of schools is the school books is that
of course.
That's a huge yes. thing for us.
Yes.
We would just love someone to volunteer to maybe tidy up our website because it's a bit sad with us semi-retired.
And young people are so beautiful. Oh, we're looking here at little Scarlett listening to us and Scarlett's doing some training during the – well, just before the holidays, Scarlett, isn't it? She's from Redcliffe School, so she's coming over to learn a bit about radio. But I think the wonderful things that you've mentioned throughout the course of our interview – Claire, I can't help but sit here and think Rotary, Rotary, Rotary
yes.
because, you know, we're all like-minded people
yep.
and we all go out there to do our very best for absolutely everyone.
Yep.
And we've just had one of our members come back from Cambodia doing a bike ride, raising funds. So how
yes.
good is that? You know, so how wonderful. And, Claire, it's been a pleasure speaking with you this morning. I mean, I've noted some little things here and you almost want to go and pack your bags and go right now. So I will refrain from doing that. I will stay on the radio for
on the radio.
Bit more. But you don't have to be retired in any way, shape or form.
No.
Take your holidays. Go and do something different.
Yes, exactly.
Hey?
Yes.
Semi-retirement, fabulous.
Yeah.
And just if you want to stave off that dementia, get out there.
Get out there and do it.
Get dressed yep. and get over there and do
and
it.
And the other little thing, we often have a little romance going, which goes into marriages. So we're not all about bricks and mortar. There's a bit of romance in the air as well.
Ah, that's nature at its best.
Isn't it just?
Claire Simpson, thank you very much for coming in and talking to us here on 101.5. And listeners, as was said before, if you want to hear more about this, pop onto that website at 101.5 website and get a little bit more information. And Claire, I'm sure if any of our listeners want to get in contact with you, we've got your number.
Yes.
We've even got David's number. So we are more than happy to pass that information
on. I would love a phone call.
Yes. And just before I let you go, are there specific times of the year that you go over?
Yes, usually March.
March?
March,
okay,
yeah.
Beautiful. And do you sort of go straight to Cambodia or do you go to Vietnam or do you go to Laos?
The teams are broken up. So
good.
You might have three sites in
yes.
Cambodia.
Yes.
And then you might have two in Laos. And sometimes in Cambodia, these sites can be a long way away from each other.
Mm-hmm.
So the organisation is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why with the battery-operated carpentry tools,
mm-hmm. Of course.
We need like five sets of everything.
Absolutely. Wow.
Yeah.
So if there's any listeners out there, and we've got a lot of beautiful listeners to our community radio station that would like to sort of put their little hand up or make donations, here at the radio station we're happy to pass any information on, but I'm sure Claire can track you down very, very easily. Claire Simpson from Project Vietnam, thanks so much for sharing a little bit of your journey with us, and I'm feeling warm and cosy just listening to this story, and I'm sure you are as well, Charlotte. Hey, it was lovely. Thanks, Claire.
Oh, and I thank you, Rosemary, and I hope to hear from many of your listeners.
I'm sure
my
you
phone
will.
Is at my hand.
There you go.